progress. We need one more member to attend the meeting.
Unless I leave, then you need two.
Uh-oh.
Just kidding. Just messing with you, Steve.
Turn it up.
Don't worry.
Oh, there we go. I have.
Oh, I cracked it.
Can you hear me now?
Catch it, Steve. Come on.
Ryan cannot attend today's meeting. I'm hoping that Marianne Carbone will join us.
Should I send her a text?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Terrific. Well, we have a quorum, and the time is 12:30 on the button. So with that, I would go ahead and recommend that we convene this special meeting of the Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee of the Monterey Bay Air Resources District, December 21st, 2022. Ho, ho, ho. We are meeting in accordance with Governor Newsom's signed AB 361. We encourage the public's participation, especially so. So with that, let's go ahead and call the roll. Siri?
All right. Director Carbone?
Here.
Thank you. Director Coonerty? He's absent. He called in. Director Lopez?
Here.
And Chair McShane.
Yep.
And wow. Sam Story is no longer in office as of the 8th of December. So we have quorum.
Wow. Sam has come and gone and come and gone. That's, I'm feeling old. Okay. So with that, we really just need to take action first on AB 361 and our opportunity to continue to meet remotely. So Rich, do you just want to report on that? And I don't know if now is the appropriate time or not, but, you know, and Chris, you probably know this better than anybody, or less for that matter. We are required to go back to in-person, right? Is that in February?
I'm going to do a report in the board of directors meeting on the future of teleconferencing and remote meetings.
Okay.
But we do need a vote on a motion to make the findings required by AB 361.
Okay, well, first let's just start. I don't see any member of the public, nothing received. So we need a motion and a second.
And the findings are that the governor's proclamation of state of emergency is still in effect. The committee has reconsidered the circumstances of the emergency, and the Monterey County public health officer continues to recommend social distancing, which he does.
Got it.
So moved. Well, that's it.
I'll second Carbone.
Moved by Lopez, seconded by Carbone. Will you call the roll, Siri?
Yes. Carbone?
Yes.
Director Lopez?
Yes.
Chair McShane?
Yep.
Approved unanimously.
Great. And our next item is our minutes from our last special meeting, October 19th. Unless there's any questions, nothing received. We'll go ahead and entertain a motion in a second.
A motion for approval.
Second.
It moved in second. Siri, will you call the roll?
Yes. Director Lopez.
Yes.
Director Carbone.
Yes.
Chair McShane.
Yeah.
Approved unanimously.
Okay. We'll just open for public comment. I don't see anyone, and
nothing received at the district office.
Given nothing was received, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned, 12:34 p.m.
Okay.
And we will reconvene for the regular meeting of the Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee, December 21, 2022. Of course, meeting remotely here. We encourage the public's participation and welcome it. And with that, we will go ahead and do the roll call, Siri.
All right. Chairman Shane.
Yep.
Thank you. Director Carbone.
Yes.
Director Coonerty, he called in absent.
Okay.
Director Lopez.
Here.
And then Sam Story is no longer in office as of December 8th. We have three. We have quorum, sir.
Thank you. We will open public comment. Not seeing anybody.
I have nothing received at the office.
Okay. We'll go into our minutes from our October 19, 2022 meeting. Unless there's any questions, look for the public. Seeing none and nothing received, we'll go ahead and entertain a motion and a second on the minutes.
Curbone will make a motion for acceptance of the minutes.
Thank you.
October 19th.
I'll second it. Okay, if you'll call the roll, Siri.
All right, Chair McShane.
Yep.
Director Lopez.
Yes.
Director Carbone.
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Great. Next couple items, we get to hear from Rosa. First on our OPED trust and pension trust accounts. Rosa.
Hey. Good afternoon, members of the board. So this report is to receive the quarter ended September 30th, 2022 for the other post-employment benefits trust and pension trust accounts for the district. We established a trust in October 2013 to pre-fund the OPEB liability. The trust is administered by the Public Agency Retirement Services, otherwise known as PARS. In March 2018, the Board of Directors approved the Resolution 18-005, approving the adoption of a new trust to fund both the OPEB and the district pension obligations. The original OPEB trust was transferred to the new trust in July 2018. It's under the balanced investment strategy. The district made the first deposit to the pension trust in 2010 and is using the moderately conservative Highmark Plus investment strategy. The OPEB pension investment guidelines call for a quarterly review of the trust account investment activity by the Budget Personnel Nominating Committee. And below is a summary of the OPEB and pension trust investment accounts as of September 30th, 2022. So in the OPEB trust, our current balance is $1,064,777.73. For the quarter ended 9/30/2022, we had a total income since inception of $212,777. Hmm. So our investment returns negative 6.85 for 1 month, negative 3.8 for 3 months, negative 15.67 for the 1 year return, and a positive 2.73 for a three-year return. On this next page, the pension trust, our account balance is $537,851. For the quarter ended 9/30/2022, the total loss we've had is $37,148. And our investment return for 1 month is a negative 5.29. 3 months is a negative 4.18, and for the 1 year is a negative 14.59. Mm-hmm. So I have attached the statement summaries for both the OPEB and the pension, and I've attached the Highmark Capital Performance Report for the quarter ended 9/30/2022.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Rosa. Any questions? This is not an action item. We're just going to the public. Not seeing any, nothing received. Thank you, Rosa. We'll move on to the next treasurer's report of investments quarter ending September 30th.
Okay, so our next report is to receive and accept the Monterey County Treasurer's report of investments for September 30th. We deposit our cash in the Monterey County account and request funds from the county as needed for accounts payable and payroll. The county accounts for these monies in a separate fund and also manages the investments for the district. Attached to is the report for the quarter ended September 30th, 2022. The overall yield on investments for this quarter was 1.06. This is higher than the previous year's yield, the previous quarter's yield of 0.71% and higher than the yield from the same quarter of last year, 2021, of 0.57%. So the economic factors affecting the investment performance are outlined in the Treasurer's staff report to the Board of Supervisors and in Exhibit A of the report. The yield was lower than the one-year Treasury bill rate of 3.93%, and that is shown on page one of the report. And the majority of the county's investment portfolio is with U.S. Treasuries, overnight liquid assets, and federal agencies. That's on page two of the report. As of this date, the district received $60,469 through the first quarter of the fiscal year 22-23. Its share of the quarterly investment earnings for the first quarter was received in October, and our annual budget is
$72,650. Yep. Got it. Any questions? Okay. Going to the public. Not an action item. Nothing. Okay. Thank you very much, Rosa. And with that, we'll move on to our draft financial statements, and we will hear from our auditor. I see Mitesh is on here. So, Rosa, back to you.
Okay. So I have invited Mitesh Desai. He's a principal at Badawi and Associates, and he's going to do a presentation on our fiscal year end June 30th, 2022 financials.
Thank you, Rosa. Mm-hmm. Chair, members of the board. So let me share my screen if I can. And I think you should see my presentation, hopefully.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, well, thank you again. And I just have a short agenda covering audit team, the deliverables of the audit, the areas of primary emphasis, going over the results of the audit, financial statements, required communications that we need to make as the auditors, and just briefly touch on new accounting standards. And if there's any questions at the end, I'm happy to answer them. But feel free if anything comes up as I'm going through, I'm happy to pause. It's not a problem. In terms of the engagement teams, I was the audit partner and I had two associates helping me work on the various testing. I also had a quality control reviewer who looks at the report and our audit work papers to make sure that we followed auditing standards, and also kind of give us a fresh set of eyes to make sure, you know, we didn't miss anything. In terms of deliverables, so we performed our audit on the financial statements, and we'll also be issuing a letter pretty much covering what we'll be going through at the end of the presentation, just some required communications and findings from the audit. Findings, not in terms of problems, just what were the audit results. In terms of things that we focused on, so nothing's different much here. We did always look at revenues. That's the default risk, that there's improper revenue recognition, just that we consider that in all audits. And pension and OPEB are always complex, so we do look at that more closely. There was a new accounting pronouncement this year that probably impacted a lot of agencies, which was the lease accounting standards. And we did look at leases, but we found that it wasn't necessarily a significant matter for the district. So we didn't really consider it to be an area of primary audit emphasis for the district's audit. In terms of the audit report, so we'll be issuing a clean report, which is unmodified opinion. And what that means is that the financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects. Significant accounting policies have been consistently applied. Estimates that are in those financial statements are reasonable. And we believe that the disclosures that accompany those financial statements are complete and accurate. And just going over some of the financial trends for the district. This is just looking at the government-wide financial statements, just looking at the assets and deferred outflows of resources. So you can see there was a big spike in cash this year, and that's, I think, just mainly from timing relating to those grant programs that are funded by grants. We did have some new grant revenues, but not a lot of grant expenditures, which is a matter of timing, resulted in an increase in your cash and investments significantly during the year. With regards to liabilities, you can see there was a big increase in other liabilities, which was a result of unearned revenues, which are just grants that have been received but have not yet been recognized as revenue because they haven't been spent. So that's majority of that other liabilities increase. The other significant change you'll see here is the net pension liability, where there was a big decrease. And it's a bit of an unusual year, and next year will be another unusual year where you just have some major swings at CalPERS because of their investment returns. So keep in mind, this number is a year old that's presented on your financial statements. So even though these are the 2022 financials, these are 2021 numbers. So in 2021, CalPERS experienced the big gain because things were good back then. Yeah. And you pick up a share of that. So that resulted in a lower liability. It's expected next year that CalPERS had for 2022 had a loss. So you'll see this number go back up. In addition, CalPERS will be reducing the discount rate. So that'll be an expected increase next year. So I guess we're looking at the net pension liability just as something to take with a grain of salt, that it's just an estimate to give you a ballpark number. But you can see also there's a corresponding increase here in the deferred inflow of resources. And that's just that when you have a decrease in the net pension liability as a result of assumption changes or investment returns being much higher or lower than expected, those changes get deferred and then gradually get reflected as revenue or expense in the income statement. So that's what that deferred inflow of resources is. This is just looking at net position or your equity. So equity is just broken down into three categories, which are your net investment in capital assets, your restricted amounts, and then unrestricted. And yeah, nothing significant here. So even though, I guess, you can see that there were some increases in the assets and major swings in the liabilities, those somewhat are offsetting. So there wasn't really much change, I guess, in terms of equity during the year. This is looking at your changes in net position from year to year. So not major swings. You did have a slight decrease this year, but nothing to be overly concerned about. In terms of the general fund, so this is just looking at the general fund fund statements and looking at unrestricted fund balance and comparing that to annual expenditures over the past 3 years and kind of doing analysis as to how much months of fund balance do you have available that's unrestricted. And GFOA recommends to have around 2 to 4 months if possible. And you know, the district is in a quite healthy position that you do have more than that by a good amount. So yeah. Not a bad thing to be over.
Can go back one if that's okay, Mitesh.
Sure.
Can that amount get too big?
I guess it just depends on policies. I guess if things start getting too big, I mean, we normally are more into city audits. So
yeah.
I think when for cities, when the fund balance starts getting too big, the residents usually start questioning what's your reserve, like why you're not using it for various programs. And that's, I guess that's something to evaluate as to what's an appropriate amount of of reserves available. I think one thing I forgot to mention is that your unrestricted fund balance is inclusive of any reserves. So it's not excluding that. But yeah, it could be once if you have unreserved fund balance, and it's not really assigned to any programs or projects, then raises the question, maybe you need to come up with some new projects, or maybe think about reducing fees if your fees are kind of covering more than, but that's something I guess to look forward. I'm not sure what's the maximum, like when you start looking at that, that's more of, I guess, something you, I guess you just look at to see how much is it really growing every year. Yeah, I think it's also a bit misleading for the district, or one just to point out is that, I guess, the district's expenditures also seem to not be the same every year. So I think this year you have a decrease in your expenditures because there are not a lot of planning grants that went out. So that also, I guess, comes into play why your number of months looks much higher than previous. But yeah, I mean, over the past 2 years, it seems like it's doubled. So that's a good point. In terms of the district expansion contributions, nothing significant here. I mean, one question I did get asked by a council in the past is that, well, you know, if CalPERS had such a great year and the net pension liability went down, why aren't our contributions also seeing that? And I think there is a smoothing that CalPERS does when they come up with the required contribution rates. So when you see gains or losses, you don't get impacted directly or immediately by those. So when next year, when CalPERS shows that they had a big loss, you also shouldn't see that your required contribution rates will now be double what they were previously. So it's just done to gradually, I guess, increment those and average them out. But I haven't seen anything for 2023. That's essentially why it's not, you're not seeing that.
Good that you explain that. Thank you.
This is your sensitivity disclosure. It's a key disclosure for your pension plan. And just asking a what-if scenario, you know, if CalPERS used a different discount rate, what would your net pension liability be? And with the CalPERS plans, there's always a big swing because they're just talking about large number of benefits that are going to be paid out. And you can see that if the discount rate was 1% lower, you'd have about double. And then if you had a 1% higher, it would be much, much smaller. So I think the trend at the moment is that they're probably expecting the discount rate will continue to go down unless something changes. But so you may see increases in your net pension liability just as a matter of a change in discount rate. This, as long as you understand what's going on with the number, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is just trend of your OPEB contributions. So I think
we go back one slide. Sorry, Mitesh. Do you anticipate the discount rate changing?
Yeah, I think CalPERS already in their report, I think they already mentioned they'll be changing the discount rate to 6.8.
Well, happy birthday.
So there will be an increase in that. And I think the substantiation of the change in discount rate is just that their investment strategies are changing. The mix of investments they're investing in. So as they make things more conservative and their investments earn a lower interest in the future, they have to substantiate that they have to use a lower discount rate as well. I think it'll be 6.8 in the future. And then unless I guess something changes where they start changing again the investment strategy to be more aggressive, more than likely it's it's going to trend that way. They've already changed the discount rate down.
Yeah. What did it go for? What was the change before, right? It was a quarter of a point, right?
Right. It went from, I think less. Yeah, it went from 7.5 to 7.25. And then, I'm not 100% sure. I know that it's been a while since they changed.
Yeah, a few years. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, just had that question. Okay.
Let's skip this one. This is looking at your OPEB plan. So looking at the funded status of the OPEB plan, and you did have a major increase in your plan assets for this measurement date, which was 1 year behind also, which is for June 30, 2021. And that result, your net OPEB liability is almost insignificant amount compared to your pension numbers, so a few hundred thousand at this point. So unless something significantly changes with assumptions, or maybe people start living a lot longer than you're anticipating, something like that, probably are in good shape here. And at some point, you can probably look at seeing if you need how much you want to contribute to your trust every year, because at some point, the trust is going to start covering most of your future benefits. And similarly, with the like pension, there is a sensitivity disclosure for OPEB, and not much here. If the discount rate been 1%. Higher, you'd end up with a net OPEB asset of a few thousand dollars. So, even if the discount rate, the swings are not as drastic here, just because the retiree premiums that you pay for healthcare are not essentially the same as a retiree's pension for a year. And then here's another sensitive disclosure for OPEB, which is for the healthcare cost trend rate, which is just if the actuary had assumed that healthcare costs would be increasing much higher than anticipated, what would be the results, or much lower. And similarly, you would have ended up with a net OPEB asset had they used a different assumption. So this number has become, seems to be under control. And in terms of the required communications, I'll try to breeze through these as quickly as I can. And the first two, I'll just skip over those. But the first two are just to clarify our responsibility as auditors and management's responsibilities. Our responsibility as the auditors are to opine on the financial statements. The financial statements, even though we assist in preparing them, are still management's document, and they are responsible for putting in place internal controls over the financial statements, complying with laws and regulations that impact the financial statements, putting in place internal controls to prevent fraud or theft, and also to address audit findings and such. Our responsibilities are to audit the financial statements, opine on them, evaluate internal controls, and then also to report the results of the audit. Responsibilities also include independence. So we maintain our independence from the district by complying with rules set by the AICPA and the Board of Accountancy. And other than preparing the financial statements, we didn't perform any other services that may impair our independence. Those would may include acting as management, preparing journal entries without any review, those types of things. In terms of timing, the audit was performed in accordance with our engagement letter. And then I touched on it earlier, but in terms of new accounting pronouncements, these were the new accounting pronouncements that were implemented during the year, which was 87 that talks about leases, 89 discusses a construction period interest, 92 is a combination of various miscellaneous things, and 98, which district doesn't issue, but if you were to issue it previously was referred to as a comprehensive annual financial report. Now it's referred to as an annual comprehensive financial report. So that's just has no impact on the district's financial statements, but those are formally implemented during the year. In terms of estimates, so other than pension and OPEB, there is an allowance for uncollectible amounts, which is a very small amount, which is not necessarily reported on the face of the financial statements, but your receivables are net of this amount. And then also your useful lives of capital assets, an estimate that goes into your value of the net book value of the capital assets that are presented on the financial statements. In terms of sensitive disclosures, so nothing unique, different from prior years here, just the summary of significant accounting policies, cash investments, capital assets, retirement plans, other post-employment benefits. The financial statements will tell you the balances or the amounts of revenue or expenses during the year, but the disclosures will give you more meaning. So cash investments will let you know what investment policies the district has, what investments the district participated in, what types of capital assets the district has. For retirement benefits and other post-employment benefits, it'll let you know what other benefits offered, actuarial assumptions, and other information if you're interested. In terms of difficulties, we had no difficulties in performing the audit. We did not have any significant audit adjustments and no significant risks or exposures. We did not have any, we had no material weaknesses that we identified over internal control. And as part of the audit, before we issue the report, we'll obtain a letter from management, which is our representation letter. It was just management acknowledging their responsibility for the financial statements, acknowledging that they provided us with valid documentation and complete documentation. And there are no other things we need to be aware of before we issue our report. And we're not aware of any consultations that management may have performed with others, no other material written communications. And then we don't have any going concerns, I guess, as to whether the district will continue in the future. And we have not become aware of any instances of fraud or illegal acts. So those are just our required communications. In terms of new accounting standards, so these are the new accounting standards that will be coming the district's way next few years. And most likely not a lot of them will apply. The 96 is something similar to leases and may apply to a few of the softwares the district uses. So similar, like with the lease accounting, you would have recognized the lease liability for any long-term leases that you've engaged in. If the district has some, but they were considered immaterial for reporting purposes, but the subscription-based information technology arrangements, you would do something similar where you would recognize a liability for any cloud-based subscription services, which are more than 1 year. And you would recognize also an intangible asset, which is a right to use that asset. So you recognize an asset and a liability to acknowledge, I guess, that you have an ability to use software and you also have an obligation to pay for it. So in terms of the income statement, it's really not that big of an impact. So nothing really changes income statement wise, but on your balance sheet, you do see another asset and liability. And I think that's it. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, thank you for allowing us to provide audit services to the district as usual.
Yes, great to see you again, Mitesh. Very thorough and appreciated. Let's just see if there's any questions. I know I asked a couple there. I don't see any hands. And we do want to recommend action here. Let's just go to the public real quick. Don't see anything coming back. Anything received, Siri?
No, nothing received at the district office.
Okay, so This is an action item. It will go to the board for approval. We would be recommending adoption. So with that, we're looking for a motion and a second.
I'll move staff recommendation.
Okay. And I'll second. So moved by Lopez, seconded by McShane. We'll go ahead and call the roll.
All right. Director Lopez?
Yes.
Chair McShane?
Yes.
Director Carbone?
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
All right. That brings to closure our items for the Budget Personnel Nominating Committee meeting. We'll go ahead and stand adjourned and look forward to seeing everybody for the full meeting in just another 20 minutes or so. So thank you very much, Mitesh. And we'll see everybody very shortly.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.